Good morning. We are joined on the line by Camille Harding. She is the State Division Director for Community and Behavioral Health. We're going to be talking about the Colorado Crisis Line, which is part of Colorado Crisis Services, the statewide behavioral health crisis response system, offering residents mental health, substance use, or emotional crisis help, information, and referrals. Good morning, Camille.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. How are you today?
Good. Yeah, just working from home like many folks.
Camille, who can use the Colorado Crisis Line?
Yeah, so we encourage any Colorado individual that might need mental health, substance use, treatment services, or just need some support due to a variety of reasons. So anyone can use the Crisis Line.
Have the number of calls to the Crisis Line changed since the coronavirus pandemic began?
They have. Typically on this year, we see about 13,000 calls per month to our crisis line. And over the last couple of months since March, we've seen about 20,000 calls to the crisis line per month. So it's a pretty substantial increase in the last couple of months.
Camille, can you talk about the nature of those phone calls? Has the overall dynamic of those phone calls changed? More suicide, more of this or more of that?
Yeah, so actually, of course, COVID-related questions and just related stressors, family stressors, isolation, financial stressors are definitely part of the majority of conversations. I think our estimate right now is about 60% of the calls are COVID-related in some way, and it certainly is part of the conversation. The crisis calls are lasting longer than normal, so typically, the line usually spans between 11, and we're seeing that last 2 to 4 minutes longer than normal. And so I think that people are just more isolated and needing more support, and we're seeing that. Typically, in terms of calls in which we believe that there needs to be a face-to-face assessment, so if someone's calling because they're at risk to themselves or someone else, our crisis hotline will do an assessment, and if an individual needs a face-to-face intervention, we have mobile teams around the state that will go out to people's homes, jails, shelters, primary care offices, et cetera, around the state to do a face-to-face assessment with a clinician. And typically, we'll see about 9 to 10 calls per day that require that level of intervention, and we've actually seen a drop in the number of individuals that are needing a face-to-face intervention, and we think that's largely due just to the shelter-in-place order and that folks are trying not to go out and be out, and so we're just monitoring that because we expect to see, right, as sort of lives return to some sort of new normal, we think that maybe we'll see more increase in that sort of face-to-face response being required.
Camille, talk about how rural communities are served through that service. If someone from a remote rural community, such as, you know, Hot Sulphur Springs or someplace up here in Grand County, we don't have many people. Do you have response people that can go face-to-face even in those rural communities? And what's the turnaround time for something like that?
Sure. So it really depends around the state. We've been working coverage statewide for mobile response. With COVID-related concerns, a lot of our responses are actually being done via telehealth. So in some cases, right, if an individual is capable to log on to some technology and do a face-to-face assessment with a clinician using technology, that is certainly an option. Many of our providers are using that sort of intervention. In some cases, if the team can still go out, in some cases they'll leave a tablet on the porch and ask the person to grab the tablet and then remain in their car. And then depending on the personal protective equipment, there is some still face-to-face intervention. We know that we're still working to scale some of our face-to-face interventions in rural communities. And so we have Rocky Mountain Health Plans is actually our administrative service organization for the region. And they're really working on figuring out how to get good coverage for mobile response statewide in that geographic region. So there's still work to do, but we are thinking about how we scale options. And typically the response time, at least that's required, is 2-hour response time in rural areas.
Camille, what can people expect when they call the Colorado Crisis Line?
Sure. So if you call the crisis line, the number is 844-493-TALK. We also have a text line that's available as well. And so if you call the crisis line, you'll get a prompt that says, are you calling because you're in a crisis situation? And you can choose, right, whether that's yes, I am, and then you'll get directly routed to a clinician who will do sort of an assessment and see what's going on with the individual. And then we have what we call a warm line. And the warm line is also another option. And basically what that is, it's a support line where you get to speak with someone that has lived experience with mental health or substance use treatment needs. And those individuals are also trained on the crisis line. And they do a lot of support. And sometimes people just prefer talking with someone that's been through something similar. And so that's also an option. So they'll do an assessment if you're calling a crisis to make sure that there's no safety concerns. And if not, they do a lot of support, some recommendations around how to manage a particular situation, depending on what the caller's calling about, coping strategies, et cetera. And then they do a lot of resource and referral. So they have a pretty robust referral, set of referral and resources established. And so they do a lot of connection to folks, like in terms of getting connected with ongoing treatment related to mental health or substance use, and then lots of resources related to, right, like here's your local housing authority or health provider that might be able to do some other sort of help, just depending on what the caller's calling for.
What happens when people do need more ongoing support but have limited financial resources?
Yeah, so a few things. The Office of Behavioral Health, we do fund a lot of community providers to cover services for those folks that maybe fall, that don't qualify for Medicaid but don't make enough to pay out of pocket for whatever services or meet. And so the Office of Behavioral Health does have a robust sort of network of providers that we pay to deliver services to those folks that may not be able to pay out of pocket. We have that on the Colorado Department of Human Services website, where those providers are. And then also the hotline certainly has recommendations about sliding scale resources for folks that may not be able to pay out of pocket for services.
We are talking to Camille Harding. She's the State Division Director for Community Behavioral Health. Camille, how often do youth call the Colorado Crisis Line?
Well, I actually don't call the crisis line that often.
No. Sorry. No, I said youth. Y-O-U-T-H, like young people.
Youth. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I talk to them every week to see how they're doing. So youth, gosh, that is a really good question. The percentage of youth, certainly, I don't think that youth call the hotline. We see more youth volume coming from text, since that's just the way that kiddos communicate. And so certainly we've seen a lot of growth in our text line over the last several years. And we just continue to monitor the growth and demand. We certainly see more youth using the text line. And also we've recently done some campaign work with youth. So we have a group of students between the ages, I want to say 15 to 22 around the state that consult with us around our marketing campaign and make recommendations about how to promote this and how might be able to use the tech line. And so we've certainly seen a growth in utilization from youth.
Is there an overall mental health kind of category or theme that you're seeing as really under-addressed right now during the coronavirus pandemic?
So one of the areas that we are paying attention to right now actually is for all of our first responders, healthcare providers, folks that are out on the front lines, right, are continuing to respond and are probably witnessing a lot of just events that are traumatic and create sort of that sense of helplessness, right? Because we don't have all the information that we might need to treat a particular, to treat COVID. So I think there's a lot of fear and sort of apprehension about what to expect. And so we're really monitoring what that is going to look like a few months down the road, and how do we think about support for folks that maybe have encountered medical interventions that are traumatic, as well as first responders and all of our healthcare providers on the front lines that have had to really sort of pivot and in a pretty intense sort of environment.
Camille, is there anything else you'd like to share with us this morning?
No, I just really encourage folks that maybe are struggling or need some support to reach out to the hotline. They really do a great job. And I know that things are pretty challenging for many families right now. But we just encourage folks to really reach out to the hotline, as well as youth, to use the text line. Call if you need support.
Phone calls are confidential, and the number is 1-844-493-8255.
Thank you so much, Camille.
Yeah, thank you. You can also text TALK, T-A-L-K, to 38255. Camille Harding, State Division Director for Community Behavioral Health, thank you so much for joining us today and for all your work.